Welcome to the phenomenal teaching ministry of Pastor Japhet Joseph, lead pastor of the Pistis Place. It is our vision to see convictions birthed in the hearts of men, thereby establishing Christ. Spiritual growth beckons. Ready?
I saw something yesterday night, and I believe it's a prophetic word for someone. While I was sleeping yesterday, the Lord showed me the Red Sea, and I saw what looked like Moses and then the army of Egypt coming against them, and all of a sudden I was part of the people that marched in the middle of that parted sea, and I was seeing what looked like the rod of God. That's not in scripture, but I saw what was looking like rods holding each seed that was parted left and right. And I believe it's a prophetic word to somebody. The sea before you is parting. Let your amen be loud. I prophesy the sea before you is parting. Can you go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost for 2 minutes as we trust God for this evening? For why he has gathered us. Open your mouth and begin to pray in the Spirit. Open up your spirit to God and begin to trust him tonight that there will be a rain upon your life. There will be an awakening. Go ahead and pray intentionally. Pray intentionally. Pray intentionally. For the next 3 minutes, let's wet the grounds. Let's wet the grounds for what God is set to do. Mata pekos kaprande ketize poko pratahida. Jibroko sile bande kaparo sile brande kaya. Rabato sile mande kaya rekopesi brokontambetakada limbra kotosi branda kapele baruna kamenava duba jibrokoto simbra kataya leparuno kopele dihande kata ratosi ketambe. 2 more minutes, please pray. 2 more minutes, please pray. Rekopetamba jekete pakombra kata seta lekopelina kada kahila mataya. Rekopetetetenga tabakope kumbra kataya. Rekopeline kabas kataya. Is God going to be recruiting from here? You should pray better than you are doing. Ramenande kile tusa hila. Ebato sebrande kia. Rakope ketetetetetetetete. Mandetise pakanta brando kepataya. Lekopetetemba kataza. Radosetetetete. Lambata ba kompreketia la kapata seteteba rabele kele limbrato selene kahila makapata. 1 more minute, please pray. 1 more minute, please pray. 1 more minute, please pray. Rabababatam bekatimbra kotosketa rabale ketele rembrato sibratatile rambetetetetetete kompretosketa rabakopeketetetetete. Rende ketiske tembra toske tebaya rambeline mande shekoto pete kate pate bala kate rambeteske prendos ketida rado teke temba limbro koto shibra kata shekete te 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 rande taske temba kapata belo prakopai. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, breathe on us this evening. Wake us up. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please jam your hands together as you take your seat in God's presence. And it's all about you. And it's not about me. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Jesus. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you.
Two more times.
It's all about you. It's not about me. It's all about you. For the last time, loud and clear. It's all about you.
Awakening the army. Joel chapter 2. It's a long read, but by the time we are done, it would carry God's message from me to you for tonight, and then we pray. Joel chapter 2 from verse 1 to 10. Follow me as I read it. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is near at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. They had not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. God is speaking about somebody. That nothing is escaping you anymore. That's the kind of power you're about to carry. Verse 4, he says, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. The days of tiredness is over. Ah, let your amen roar. The days of weariness and tiredness is over. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array before their face, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall match everyone in his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heaven shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. Verse 11, where I will stop. And the Lord shall utter his voice. Before what? Say it loud and clear. Before what? His army. For his camp is very great. For he is strong that executed his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who shall abide in it? God is raising an army in this season. And I believe that this meeting is a sound beyond even this territory. And if you find yourself here today, please don't think that you came on your own. One of the hardest truths that I have had to know is that nobody can come if God did not draw him. Jesus said, everyone that you see coming to me is because my Father was the one orchestrating it. My Father drew them. Everyone under the sound of my voice, listen, there is a sound in this season, and God is calling you to the kind of army he's about to raise. An army that fire goes before them and fire goes behind them. An army that is unstoppable. We've had it before. We're about to have it again. Army that will rise, and kingdoms and thrones will know that God is alive. Now they are still doubting, but God is about to raise a company. I know that when we begin to speak about an army, sometimes we look at ourselves and begin to wonder, how will these things be? Seeing that I am just a man, that was just, you know, that was what Mary, the mother of Jesus, was saying. Seeing that I have not been with a man, how will these things be? And somebody will look at himself and also say, how will God use me to become something that is unstoppable? Don't worry. Let the Holy Ghost begin to radiate upon your life. Let the hand of God come upon you, and then you will see what God can use with things that are little. I tell people all the time, the battle axe can be a decoration until a man of war picks it up. When you see an axe on the floor, everybody looks at it and thinks that nothing good is about it. People can kick it anyhow. But when a warrior picks it up, that same thing that can be stepped upon now becomes an instrument that can devour. What God wants to do in this season is to pick unlikely men and begin to war with them. So if you look at yourself and consider yourself to be unlikely, you are the kind of person that God is looking for. Because we have a treasure in hidden vessels, so that the excellency of power will be of God and not of us. If you look strong and then you are strong, then people will take God out of the equation. But if you look weak, and from weak men strength comes out, then people will know that there's a God in Zion. And so what God is doing this season is to go into houses to fish out unlikely men, and then to forge them into something unstoppable. He said this man will fall upon a weapon and it will not penetrate. What kind of army is this? It's called the army of God. And I've come to realize, every time that God is about to do this, he grows quiet. The silence of God is not the inactivity of God. Every time God is reducing his voice, it is because there is something that is cooking. Anywhere there is noise, don't be distracted by that noise. Because in the days of Jesus, there was a noisy census going on. But what God was cooking was in the manger, where everything was quiet. In case you are wondering why it is a kingdom prayer retreat, it is a strategy of God for quietness. I don't want you to ever forget that this is not a conference. This is not a convergence. It is a retreat. Retreats are God's strategy for silence, to incubate men, to produce something eternal in them. God did not make a mistake with what he called it. Every time we are looking at warfare, that's where you hear the word retreat. Retreat is not a word just for churches. It's used in the army. And there are two things the Lord placed on my mind that relates to what he's about to do with us today. Number one, every time that God calls for a retreat is because there are people that might have grown exhausted or experience exhaustions as a result of fighting, and then God is seeking to renew their strength. Whenever there is a battle and people have been fighting for too long, the commander can summon retreat, because he understands that if they keep on fighting, they will lose their life and they will still lose the battle. So it is a strategy in warfare to call people back for renewing of strength so that they will live longer. Listen to me. Anything that is not renewed will get exhausted and will die.
No matter how much it is in the beginning, if a thing is not experiencing renewal, before long it will be exhausted and it will die. So God always uses the system of a retreat to bring men back so that he can renew them. In 1 Kings chapter 19 from verse 5 to 18, 1 Kings chapter 19 from verse 5 to 18, it was the story of one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, Elijah. God had wrought a great wonder through his life. The entire army, prophets of Baal, in one day, Elijah killed all of them, rebuilding the altar of God in Israel. But the Bible told us, all of a sudden, one woman looked at him and said to him, "Woe betide me if your own faith is not like the people that you have killed." Many people say it jokingly, and let me also say it. Fair women, oh, fair women. One woman made a prophet to suddenly run into depression, because that was the same man that killed 400 prophets. He slaughtered them without fear. He called down fire from heaven, but a woman said to him, "I will kill you," and he ran away. He was plunging into the deep end of depression out of the exhaustion of what he had done, until you get to this text in 1 Kings chapter 19, whereby by himself he began to say, "God, take my life." Is it possible that a man can reach that point of exhaustion that he will not know when he begins to even say to himself, in the things that he has believed before, that it doesn't make sense anymore? Let me warn you, it can happen. If you keep running and you don't have a season whereby you pull back and retreat, you will be shocked at how much you are exhausted when strength is needed. That was the point that Elijah himself got to. He said, "I am not better than my fathers." He looked at his life and felt that there was nothing to be celebrated. He looked at his life and felt that there was nothing important anymore. "Let me go." And I thought that God will caution him. I thought that God will scold him. Do you know what God did for him? The Bible said the next thing that happened to him was God gave him rest. So he slept. And after he woke up, you know the next thing God gave him? God gave him food. Because sometimes the solution to an exhausted man is not more prayer. It's simply to retreat, rest. And rest only takes place in a retreat system. So all that was wrong with Elijah was hunger and lack of sleep. So as he ate, as he slept, the Bible said he went in that strength for another 40 days. You will be shocked at how far you can go if you will just stay back a bit and retreat. "For they that wait upon the Lord," something is happening to them. He said they will now renew their strength. All of a sudden, they will now be mounting up with wings as eagle, and they will run and not be weary. But what are they doing? They are waiting. Do you know what it means to wait? What it means to wait is just to wait. What it means to wait is to sit down and do nothing as you are doing and listening and receiving something eternal. While other people are overworking themselves, sometimes the secret of strength is that you stop doing those things that you call exercise and wait. So all the things that was going to make the prophet revive his grace was a retreat. So every time God wants to strengthen a man again, that's why he calls you for a retreat. Number two, a retreat is a call for re-strategizing. In warfare, when we are fighting and the enemy begins to gain an advantage, our commander knows that it is time to call the army to come back. I need you to know the kind of enemy that you have is an enemy who is always improving. And so you, as a believer, must know also that God will always seek your improvement. He will always seek for a new strategy for us to be able to fight the new strategy of the enemy. Many of us use computer appliances, and you know that after a while, there are some viruses that will get so used to the antivirus. Because even viruses know how to upgrade. It will now be a failure for the creators of the computer system if they are not also upgrading the antivirus. That's why you see that your device at all times, after a space of time, will tell you, update again, because your enemy has updated. Many of us who might be a bit older will remember a drug called chloroquine. In those days, chloroquine was the drug that brought about solution every time a man has malaria. Not this new one that they are selling. Once you go to a pharmacist and you say you want chloroquine, it's white like this. And the sign that you have used chloroquine is that you will scratch your body. But one day people started to die even after using chloroquine. And when they checked what had happened, they saw that this malaria virus has been able to so much acclimatize itself to what chloroquine was supposed to stop, and now chloroquine could no longer deal with malaria. So they had to introduce something greater. Every day the enemy is getting stronger, is getting wiser. God uses the system of the retreat to also upgrade you, so that whenever the enemy comes against you with a different strategy, you have been taught and now you know how to mitigate whatever the devil will bring to you. That's why you always need the retreat that God brings towards you. Because what God is doing with it is that he wants to upgrade you. In Joshua chapter 1, from verse 1 to 8, there was an upgrade that took place in the life of Joshua. God came to Joshua and said to him, Moses, my servant is dead. And let me say something to you, God did a lot through Moses. Moses was one of those prophets that it was extremely difficult to fill his shoes. Someone who saw God face to face. Every kind of wonder, God did it through his life. But guess how God did it? God did it with the use of a staff. That was the instrument of war that Moses used. Everywhere he went with his staff. And with the staff, he parted the sea. With the staff, he did all the wonders in Egypt. But in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, God upgraded the instrument of assignment. Because Joshua is not going to use the staff in any point of his ministry. How Joshua will lead the children of Israel into the promised land will be the sword. One of the problems of our generation is that we always copy the method of God. Be careful when God has moved away from a particular method. Because the only thing that does not change is the accompanying presence. So what he told Joshua is that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. But I will not use the same thing he used. Don't copy what others have used. Take time to run back to the secret place as God is organizing this retreat. And ask God, what will be the method that you will introduce? Because the devil knows what is also peculiar to you that he will want to use to attack you. If you don't stay with him to learn how to win those battles, you will see that you will copy someone and you will still fail. But in this season, I decree, you are receiving wisdom. I thought your amen will be loud and clear. For tonight, I want to quickly deal with the first one, which is that renewal. And I want to take it from the theme, awakening. That's what I want to talk about today. I'm going to run very briefly because I want us to pray just one prayer point. And if you pray that prayer point, it will go far with you. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14, the Bible says, awake sleeper, arise from the dead. One of the things that I said earlier that I don't want you to forget is that anything that is not renewed will get exhausted. And one thing that happens to a man that is exhausted is that the man can either sleep or die. And when you look at the Bible, all through scripture, when the Bible is talking about death, you will see that many times it was equal to a sleeping man. For example, when you look at Luke chapter 8 verse 52, when Jesus was speaking about a young girl that was dead, what he said was, she is asleep. When Jesus was talking about Lazarus in Luke chapter 11 verse 11, Luke chapter 11 verse 11, when he was describing Lazarus, the same thing he said is that Lazarus is what? Is asleep. So spiritually, there is no difference between a sleeping man and a dead man. As a matter of fact, both of them are in need of awakening. And you see, the only thing that happens to a man who is sleeping is that he is perceived to still be alive compared to the man that is dead. And so people can give him an opportunity, or he himself can deceive himself that all is well because he knows he's not dead, but he's sleeping. But in God's dictionary, when a man is sleeping and a man is spiritually dead, how God sees that man is that man is totally dead. And tonight I want to begin by telling you the characteristics of a sleeping man, so that you can begin to first diagnose or do an analysis of yourself. I hope I am not sleeping and I hope I'm not dead. And also by virtue of the kind of person you are, because I believe that everybody present here should not just be here for himself. You should begin to also look at your territory. You should also begin to look at those who God has connected to you. You should begin to look at those who God, by virtue of his wisdom, has allowed you to encounter. Begin to also analyze them. Are these people alive or dead? I have noted about 7 characteristics of a sleeping man, but I will mention 3 tonight. Number 1, a sleeping man is always unaware and undiscerning. Is unaware and undiscerning. Does not know the times and seasons. Does not even value it. It's like the generation of Gehazi that was going about running after gifts when Elisha was looking at him and saying to him, is this a time to receive gifts? That's a sleeping man. He's so undiscerning that things are happening around him, he does not even know it. He's so undiscerning that instructions are coming to him, he has no understanding of it, does not value it, does not know how to do business with it, because he's unaware and undiscerning. An example is the example of Samson in Judges chapter 16, 19 to 21. The Bible told us about how Samson was sleeping on a woman's lap until the token of gift that was given to him in his ear was cut away. That's an undiscerning man. When a man is undiscerning, he would have lost things before he knows that he has lost it. An undiscerning man finally finds out where things have gone wrong, but it's always too late. Because when you look at a man like Esau, the Bible said one day he was hungry. He had gone out to do business. He had gone out to seek for what to eat, and he came back hungry, and his brother was cooking porridge, only for Esau to get there and began to ask him, give me a little bit of this, your porridge. And his brother said, I don't really mind giving you, but I want to give you if only you give me your birthright. An undiscerning man has no value for birthright. He does not know that a day is coming whereby the birthright will be the reason for the blessing that will be upon him. And so he said, don't worry, what is the birthright to me? But it was only a matter of years when he showed up again, and the Bible said he began to seek destiny with tears, but it was too late. A sleeping man will have opportunity, and by himself he will throw it away because he's sleeping. Always undiscerning and unawares. Everybody around him will tell him there is a trap before him. It's when he has entered, he will now realize I'm in a trap because he's sleeping. Everybody will tell him there's a poison before him, but he is knowing too late. That's a sleeping man. Always undiscerning and unawares. Undiscerning of good and undiscerning of bad. So even good things he does not know, even bad things he also does not know. That is the worst position that you can ever be. A man who cannot discern. A man whose eyes is not open enough to know when there is trouble ahead. A man who cannot respond to the stirrings of God as it comes. That's a sleeping giant. Because no matter how great you are, if you are not a sensitive man, you will fall. Every man in the army, one of the things that they are taught is how to be sharp. So anything passes, they've moved. They are so quick because you must be discerning. But we have many people carrying weapons who cannot discern that the enemy is close by. Number two, a man who is sleeping is always a victim of death, robbery, or replacement. Every time a man is a sleeping man, he will be a victim of death. Number two, he can be a victim of robbery. Number three, he can be a victim of replacement. In 1 Kings chapter 3, 19 to 20, 1 Kings chapter 3, 19 to 20, the Bible told us about two strange women that were prostitutes who took their matters to the king. And when they were explaining their matter to the king, the Bible said one of them said, I had a son. Because a son is a gift unto us. A child is born unto us. A son is given. Sons usually are gifts. This woman is a prostitute. And I need you to understand where a prostitute is spiritually. A prostitute is someone that we know to have multiple partners, can sleep with anybody. And spiritually also, a prostitute is someone who says, I'm for God today, but tomorrow you know where you have an affinity. But despite that fact, this woman still found mercy before God and she was given a gift. But the Bible said that she explained a situation to the king. He said, I had a gift, but as this woman slept, because they were friends, he said, this woman slept on her gift until she killed it. Many times, it is not the enemy that is killing what we have. You are the one sleeping till he dies. Be careful of sleeps that lead to death. Because this woman, the Bible said, was the one who slept until destiny died. Was the one who slept until purpose died. Was the one who slept until opportunity died. Was the one who slept until gift died. She slept and she killed her child. That's what happens when a man sleeps. Things die. Number two is the category of the other woman. She said, I also was sleeping. I slept so much until what God gave me was stolen. So there are times that the enemy will not kill it, he will steal it. No wonder John chapter 10 told us the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the thing that he does in the day that he does not kill, is that he will steal. I slept so much until what I had was taken away. And then the Bible told us that it was not just taken. There's a third category. There can be a replacement. So what the other woman did was, she took a dead child and replaced it with a living child. And then gave the other woman a dead child. Every time a Christian, a giant in the army is sleeping, things are killed. Things are stolen. Things are replaced. I prophesy into your life today. What is dead is coming back to life. Army of God, you are too quiet. I prophesy as I hear the Lord, what is dead is coming back to life. I prophesy as I hear him, what has been stolen is being recovered. I prophesy as I hear him, what has been replaced, he's been restored. You will not know the value of what has been taken away from you until the day you now recognize that you need it. You'll be shocked at many carriers of glory, carriers of purpose, that things have been taken away. The devil does not seek all men. He seeks men with tokens, and he knows them by name. I hope your eyes is open to what you have, because God does not raise men, forge them, and call them for fun. He sees more than you see about yourself. And there are things that he has given to you that today you must wake up to fight for it. Because that's what I like about that woman. In the day she realized that there was a problem, she knew that she could not be quiet. As your eyes opened to the things that you used to have that you don't have anymore. As your eyes opened to the things that you have that have suddenly gone cold. And could this meeting be the meeting where God jacks it back to life? I prophesy again as I hear him. Dead gifts are coming back to life. So that's what happens to a sleeping man. Things are stolen. Things are replaced. And things are killed. Number three. A dead man or sleeping man is separated from real life. Because where he lives is in his imagination and dreams. You know what happens when you sleep. You might not have left Nigeria before, but when you dream, you can see yourself in space. Only for you to wake up and realize that you are still in that small place that you were. And what the devil does with this is that he makes men to lose time. Songs of Solomon chapter 2 verse 11, it says, winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Time is important to man. You find that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, for everything there is a time. Time is important to man. So the devil keeps men sleeping until time goes. God wanted to use Joshua for great things. Those were the things God said in Joshua chapter 1. But the Bible told us God came back to Joshua at the end of his life to say to him, Joshua, now you are old, but there are still many lands to cover. You will be shocked that when Joshua was responding to God, Joshua was telling him about the many places that he had conquered until God began to ask him, what of the borders? You have conquered land, you didn't conquer borders. Because the devil can keep a man sleeping until what he's supposed to do with time is not done, and that time is wasted. My great-grandmother used to pray a prayer in those days when we go and visit her. She used to say, God, give me meat when I still have teeth. Because what is the use of meat when there's no teeth to cut it? Meat has now come surplus, but it came too late. I tell you, there are things that come late. I know that you have read in scriptures that God makes things beautiful in his own time, but I came to tell you that it is aligned men to the time that things are beautiful for. Things can come late to a man who does not learn how to be awake when he's supposed to be awake. Jesus Christ said, I must do the work of my Father while it is day. Because there is a season that comes whereby no man can walk. Even if you are willing to do the assignment, it's too late. And so there is an enemy that tries to make men to sleep. There is an enemy that likes to keep men blinded. There is an enemy that likes to keep men lazy. But I want you to make your vow in this conference. I'm waking up. The devil won't cheat me of what God has in plan for me. I'm waking up. Because there are two things that has the capacity to wake a man up. And I'm going to only spend time on one today so that I can lead you to pray now. The first thing is light. Every time there is a breaking of the day, men do what? They wake up. The sun has a way of calling men to arise. Once there is light, men begin to wake up. Arise and shine, for what has come? Your light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon you. When light comes, you rise. There's somebody under the sound of my voice. An awakening light is coming to you. Let your amen roar like thunder. An awakening light is coming to you. When light comes, all of a sudden strength comes. You rise. You think you can't rise? Let light come. Light comes with an accompanying strength that makes you to rise from wherever you are. But there is a second one, because that one involves you and also involves God. The second thing that makes men rise is a sound. You want a man to rise, then there will be a release of a sound. That's why the scripture that we read, that was listing all the great things that this army will do, I want you to go back to Joel chapter 2 verse 1. Started with something that is important, and I want you to shout it with everything in you. 1, 2, go. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. It started by saying, you know what? Make a shout. Somebody is getting it. Somebody is getting it. Somebody is getting it. Let the army roar. Let the army roar. Let the army roar. Let the army roar. That's how we start. I've come to realize if you are doing anything important, and you think that thing is so important you cannot leave it, let your baby start crying. Once your child starts crying, all of a sudden somebody that said it's very important, I'm concentrating, what happens? There is a turning that takes place, because there's a what? There's a sound. There's nobody that cannot rise when there is a sound. I will show you two scriptures, and then we begin to lift up a cry tonight. There are three cries I want us to lift up today. Number one is for yourself, because it's only a man that is awake that can wake up others. So first, we must wake you up to be awakened to the responsibility that God is placing on you. Some of us still don't know. But I always tell people, why will God be taking you through this class and you think it's for fun? If someone is not going to be a surgeon, you won't find him in medical school. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? If he's going to be a lawyer and you find him in mathematics class, he can't be a lawyer. Your classes are proof of what God is about to make you. If you get it, you will know. You suddenly find yourself, and the only kind of words that is coming to you is a particular kind of message. It is proof of what God wants to do with your life. Your classes are proof of what God wants to do with you. So if it's taking you through this line, you are more than you think you are. God is looking at you, and there's wide expectation. So first, you must wake up to that responsibility. Two, you must wake up and know that your awakening will wake up others. So if I can wake up, I can now wake up others. And then you must now understand that there's a river in you that is able to now drown the world. Because out of your belly shall flow what? rivers. So with your sound, you can wake people up. You will become like the strings of David played in the palace of Saul. And things that need to check out begins to check out. Because God is playing you. You are releasing an essence. I always tell God, play me again like the strings of David. Shoot me like the arrow of the mighty. That's what God wants to do with us. But where he begins first is for you to wake up. In Matthew chapter 25, it was the story of 10 virgins. And Jesus said, this is how the kingdom of God shall be. 10 virgins on their way to meet the bridegroom. They are virgins with lamps in their hand. Some carrying oil, some not carrying oil. But the Bible told us when you get to verse 4 and verse 5, that even though they were virgins, all of a sudden, the bridegroom delayed and everybody in verse 5 slumbered and did what? Slept. That's what happens when I was talking about exhaustion. That no matter how special you are, if there is no call to retreat, you will slumber and you will ultimately sleep. Because everyone that sleeps begins from a place called slumbering. So it is steps and steps that ultimately lead to a fall. Go to verse 6 very quickly. So they slumbered and slept, but the Bible said, let's read it together loud and clear. I can't hear you. At midnight, there was a what? That's all. It was not so much work. There was a what? A cry. As soon as there was a cry by somebody who said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Every slumbering and sleeping person jumped up and woke up. Once there is a cry, people wake up. Oh, you think that this nation can still not quake? Let men begin to cry. At the sound, an army will rise. You see, that's how they wake us up, is with a sound. Once you hear the sound, an awakening comes to your spirit, because your spirit has been waiting for the day that the right sound will wake you up. In John chapter 11, Jesus Christ was standing before the grave of Lazarus. He did not do many things. The Bible said he walked to the grave of Lazarus and Jesus wept. And then with a loud shout, a loud sound, Lazarus come forth, and he that was dead in the grave. People are waking up today. People are waking up today. He that was dead in the grave had the voice of God calling him and jacked up. Once there is a cry, people rise. Even God rises when there is a cry. That's what he said to Moses in Genesis chapter 6. He said, I have heard the cry of my people and how their taskmaster has been dealing with them, and I have come down to help them. Even if God can respond to a cry, who are you that you won't respond to a sound? Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and then the army begins to emerge. What God wants to use us to do today is to start that cry, so that sleeping giants will begin to jump up and begin to walk. Unstoppable. Not breaking their ranks, with every possibility in them coming forth. That's God's message for us today. Jump on your feet. You're about to cry out. I want you to find a neighbor very close to you, because in the next few minutes, I want you to roar. Things must come back to life today. An army of God must rise in strength. An army of God must rise in possibility. God again must win with us. God again must win with us. hold your neighbor and all that you are saying in the name of Jesus. Wake up and arise into your destiny and into your purpose. You start with that. We go to family and then we go to our nation. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Oh, you are not praying, no? We have about 5 minutes to pray this prayer. Please don't joke with it. As you begin to pray, and you begin to pray intentionally, what I'm seeing before me is dry bones coming alive. Dry bones will live again. Son of man, can these dry bones live again? Son of man, can these dry bones live again? Prophesy unto these dry bones. Prophesy unto these dry bones. Ratama kopetaya. Wake up. Arise. Arise into purpose. Arise into destiny. Arise into calling in destiny. For nations are waiting to drink. For nations are waiting to drink. So rise, rise, river, rise, rise, river, rise. Nations are waiting to drink. Somebody's getting serious. Oh. Somebody's getting serious. Arise from that your tomb. Arise from that adversity. Arise. I wake you up. One more minute, pray. One more minute, pray. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Number two prayer. You are praying, still in agreement, for people around you. At midnight, a man just cried, nameless man. No name, no title. But his voice was strong enough to awaken people that were far away, that were sleeping. Some of you know sleeping giants around you, families, friends, that you know there's possibility in them, but they are sleeping. I want you to command them, wake up. That's what you are doing in the name of Jesus. Hear ye the voice of God. It's time to wake up. Please pray, oh, please pray, please pray, please pray. The same way Jesus faced the tomb of Lazarus, called their names and said, arise. You have spent too long in the grave. It's time to wake up.
poco paka patamba kaprokotos katan. Reto selemande kaparadia makopa. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. There's this song sounding in my spirit. And we say no to you, no to your works and no to your plans. No to your works, we say no to you. Satan, be gone. We're about to pray for our territory. But I want you to chant it like an army that you are. You are not weak, oh. You are strong. Do you know the song? Can the choir help us? We say no to you, no to your works, and no to your plans. No to your works, we say no to you.
No to your works and no to your plans.
No to your works, we say no to you.
No to your works and no to your plans. No to work and no to
Satan be gone.
No to your works and
no to your plans. No to your works, we say no to you. No to your works and no to your plans. No to your works, we say no to you. Satan be gone. That's what I want you to shout. We say no to you. No to your works and no to your plans. No to your works, we say no to Satan be gone. Satan be gone. Shout it loud and clear. We say no to you. We say no to you, no to your works and no to your plans, no to your works. We say no. Satan be gone.
Satan be gone.
Two more times. We say. Yes.
No to your works and no to your plans. No to your works and no to your plans.
Satan be gone.
Satan be gone.
The moment we take over territory, we've started to win. The army is not yet alive until we begin to win lands for Jesus. We are chasing the devil out of this territory. We are chasing the devil out of this country. We are saying no to his works and no to his plans. An army is rising. Please, can you pray that prayer with everything within you? Satan, an end has come to your works. So an end has come to your plan. Be gone. Open your mouth and pray. Rekopekambataska protoske tilamanda. Rakopesila makopara. An air comes to you. Sherotosila nenakaya. Radadada bakambetosila mande kapoya. We say no to you. No to your works and no to your plans. No to your works, we say no. Satan be gone.
Satan be gone.
30 more seconds. Roar in the spirit.
We say no to you. No to your works and no to your plans. No to you. We say no to you. Satan be gone. Oh, we say no to you. No to your works and no to your plans.
Satan be gone.
Satan be gone. We say no to you, no to your works, and no to, we say no to you. Satan, is this the army that is taking this? We say no to you. No to your works and no to your plans. No, kind. We say no to you. Satan, be gone. We say
for listening. We are sure that you've been blessed. God bless you. Victory.